There are two areas of the projector that I really want to talk about. And both of them represent deep dilemmas for the projector. And the first is to talk about the projector that is a split definition. The moment that we have a split definition, about 45% of humanity have split definitions. And I'm not talking about triple splits or quadruple splits. I'm just talking about two areas of definition separated from each other. A basic split definition. About 45% of humanity have this. And of course, what that means is that you have a fundamental openness in you that is always looking for a bridge. Always looking for a bridge. When we talk about in analytical training about understanding the hierarchy of conditioning, that though we look at conditioning generally through open centers and the strategies, the not-self strategies of open centers, that when you're dealing with a split definition, that the deepest conditioning is in the bridges itself. In other words, one is always looking for that way to be whole. Remember the genetic imperative that we have. That is, the way in which we are designed genetically is that we are designed to be attracted to something that is different. It is what keeps the gene pool viable. And because we are fundamentally attracted to what is different, it means that we are always attracted to what is not us in that sense. And that if you're a split definition, that very openness waiting for that bridge means that you're deeply, deeply, deeply longing for that completion. We already know the dilemma of the projector in the sense that they are wandering around trying to find the right sources to align to. But when you're dealing with a projector that is a split definition on top of it, it can become both obsessive and dangerous for them. And it leads to something that anyone with a split definition really begins to express, and that is blame. Blame. And one of the great, great places for the expression of projector bitterness is through blame. Let's say that you're a projector and all it takes to bring your split together is one single activation, just a gate. That's you blaming yourself. That thing that you don't have, you blame yourself that you don't have it. And you spend your whole life looking for it. And you will plug into anyone who has it in the hope that it'll sort of rub off on you. And of course, it does not. And so you blame yourself. I don't have that thing, therefore I am not worthy. I am not good. And if I had that thing, everything would be terrific. So these beings who have a split definition that are projectors and they only have one gate necessary to bring the bridge together, they are always bitter about themselves. They're not bitter about the world. They're bitter about themselves. They're bitter about how they look and the way they are. And it goes on and on and on and on and on because they're constantly blaming themselves for lacking this wholeness. And then you have the other side of the coin. You have the projectors who are a split definition and it takes more than a channel to bring it together. And there are a lot of these projectors. And they blame everybody. They don't blame themselves. They don't know how to blame themselves. They blame everybody for everything that doesn't work. And one of the ways in which this bitterness gets so deep in the projector process is that the longer they indulge in blame, the richer the bitterness is. And you see, because projectors have this gift for recognizing, their not-self projector is very good at recognizing not-self things to blame. I mean, it's great at being able to blame. Wonderful. Blame, shame. Quite a thing. all of it goes back to the same dilemma. See, if you're a generator and you're a split definition, you have your moment-by-moment authority to guide you. You don't end up in the same trip, though the conditioning is there. But if you're a projector, you're so dependent on the energy resource. And then on top of that, there is this sense of lack of completion within yourself that you end up plugging into the wrong thing, and it becomes a horrendous trap for you psychologically as well as physically. And you never get to face the truth. You never get to see things the way they could be seen. Oh, blame is a horrendous thing. Right? I mean, I know there's no choice. No blame, no fault. And to indulge in such things, it's like me being a freak, you know. I'm pure individual. I wake up in the morning and I'm melancholic. Now, when I wake up in the morning and I'm melancholic, I don't say to myself, what's wrong? You know? There is nothing wrong. I just happen to be displaying my basic chemistry. It's what it's about. See, for a projector to really be able to live in peace, they have to be able to move away from that bitterness. And for the split projector, how difficult it can be to get out of the bitterness, because the other is so, so important, and it's always the wrong other. I mean, I have known so many projectors. Boy, did they do a lousy job on picking partners. No, really, you know? They do a lousy job. They're just not good at it. Because it's not what they're about. They're not here to find a partner. They're here to be found, you know? They're here to be invited. They're here to be recognized. They're here to be respected. And the projectors that I have known, you know, it's, oof, they're plugged in. You know, I mean, that's it. In the end, that's all they'll really can say about that relationship. You know, well, I was plugged in. You know, I had dinner, lunch, breakfast. You know, I was plugged in. You know, I got to buy new clothes each year. And I was plugged in. Yeah, yeah, that was it. Nothing else. See, we're so stupid about people, aren't we? It's so easy to be fooled by people, isn't it? It just is. I mean, I know, I've watched my own movie, you know. I think somebody's going to be this and they turn out to be that. What the hell to do, you know? You can't trust the not self to do right. You can't. You can only hope. Only. Chances are they're going to mess it up anyway. But it's this blame. It's a disease. These are the people that, you know, blame the world, blame God, blame the government, you know, blame the schools, blame the parents, blame the children, blame the dog. Endless, endless, endless blame. And all as a way to try to answer their own bitterness. I'm bitterness because you fucked me up. You know? That's why I'm bitter. You know, you're to blame for messing up my life. You're to blame for this. You're to blame for that. It's the disease of splits. It's the curse of projectors to be a split and have that open and be unaware. The first thing is that you never get to see what the other can be. You know, experience teaches you that the other is only going to bring you bitterness. That's what happens. These endless not-self rounds of relationships that all leave a bad taste in your mouth until you can't imagine that taste disappearing. You can't. And so the cynicism begins. See, projectors can be very, very wise beings. They know a lot of stuff. And when all of that is twisted, their minds can get so ugly about the way in which they look at the world and beings in it. They stop having respect for other people. They stop seeing. The plug becomes everything. And it all becomes, well, maybe the next one. Maybe, maybe. See, everything in their life is about people. These very special relationships. And if you are a split definition projector, you have to be Solomon in your discernment. You know? You have to be so wise in who you allow near you. And you see, the great fear of the projector is, if I reject, I have no juice. But then you don't understand how powerful you are as a force of attraction. Projectors are deeply, deeply attractive beings. They get attention, whether they want it or not. They will always get attention. It may not be the kind of attention they like, because after all, they're not self. So they're going to get odd kinds of attention. It's not like if they reject somebody that there won't be a replacement. There will. See, we don't know how to be honest with each other. We don't. And projectors are relationship liars. They just are. They can't afford to be honest. They can't. There's too great a risk. Not honest in their relationships. And you see, what kind of a relationship can you possibly have if you're not going to be honest? I mean, you can't. There's no value to it. There's none. None. And you see, nobody gains from that. I mean, we need the resource of projectors on this plane that are awake, that are aware. It's absolutely essential. You know, this is what our future demands. But it begins not with the fact that there may be that potential for projectors. It begins with the dilemma that projectors are so conditioned. That as a group, that they are so deeply, deeply lost in the Maya. No fault of theirs, eh? No blame in that. You know, one of the things to understand about this knowledge is that it's hierarchical. It's elitist. There's only certain people that ever get direct access to this knowledge. There's not that many projectors in the world that have any inkling of an idea of what it is to be a projector. It's the beginning of a process. It's the beginning of an educational process. I have some projectors in my life who have already gone through a 7-year cycle. You can see the difference. It takes time. You know, it will take generations of work to begin to have, you know, a projector milieu that is really displaying what is that potential. It's work. And it goes back to the very basis of this knowledge that says everything in this life is accomplished by you. And you alone. And nobody else. It's you. If it doesn't happen in you, if it doesn't work in you, you know, it's you. Nobody can make it happen for you. Nobody can take you there. You see, a projector has to find within themselves that deep, deep lust for the truth. Nobody is more interested in the truth than projectors. No one. No one. This is their business. And when you think about the dilemma that they are incredible liars, you begin to wonder about the discovery of truth. And who's going to guide others to that truth? How many projectors guide people to lies? A lot. I mean, lies are much more successful than the truth in this world. We know that. You know, somebody doing an angel wing convention will get a lot more people than me. You know? It's the way this stuff works. You know? See, my concern is that for the projector, everything comes back to the very, very basic of the interaction. See, to look at the projector and to look at it within the context of the split definition and to understand all the pressure that is there is, again, to get back to the basic issue. The basic issue is, you know, if you don't bring the right people into your life, everything goes wrong. Everything. No exceptions. You know, no exception. Well, you know, I've known this person a long time and blah, blah, blah. And I can't really be, you know, this, and I can't reject them. And give me a break. It's not about them. It's about you. This is the most selfish knowledge that exists. This is about you. Not anybody else. When somebody is there and they need to be rejected, you reject them. This is about you, not about them. Doesn't matter if they don't like it or if it hurts their feelings or this or that. What, you know, big deal. It's about you. If you do not protect yourself, no one will. There's nobody here to look after you. This is the myth. We are only here to look after ourselves. Otherwise, you're lost in the circus. And you see, for a projector, this is something holy, to stand in their own authority and to be able to say, no. No. Such a great word, eh? I mean, I love no. You know, no is really cool. Yes is kind of, well. I mean, I'm an ego person. When I say yes, it just means work. You know, it's immediate translation. Yes, work. Yes, work. No is like no work. You know, I love to say no. You want to do this? No. Terrific. And they leave me alone, which is really nice, right? No. And you think, you know, if you tell them no long enough, they won't ask you anymore. It's not true. They keep coming back for more. They keep trying. You know, can I? No. You know? It becomes a disease. I want that. No. That's the power of seduction. You'll see what a projector doesn't understand is that they are a quantity that the other wants. Literally. You know, like an item on the shelf in the supermarket. Oh, I like that. I want some of that. And then they come to you and you go, no. And all your life you've been saying yes, right? So you end up being that commodity. I mean, they treat you exactly the way they found you. But the moment you say no, they're immediately confused. You know, they got a problem then. This wasn't supposed to work this way. You were supposed to just plug in and everything was going to be cool, right? And why aren't you doing that? You know, they get really upset. They've got a problem. They can't use you. They want your attention. Until the projector understands that this is your greatest asset. This is the thing that allows other people to put up with you. Because they love attention. Oh, human beings love attention. Don't we? We all do. And you see, you don't get attention from generators. You don't, because it's never personal. It's just this nice enveloping aura, you know? I mean, you can be there and never talk to them, and they're happy you're there, and you're happy they're there, and you don't have anything to do with each other, and you're just in this aura, and it's all okay. Not projectors. See, there is a... Human beings have such a bad sense of themselves that they're afraid. They're afraid to say no. They're afraid because they don't think that what's right for them will ever come. So they'll take second best, third best, fourth best, fifth best, because they're afraid that there won't be that thing that they can plug into. And all they have to understand is that the other wants them, wants their attention, loves their attention, needs their attention. It's not like, you know, what you have now with the not-self projector is the myth that the projector sucks energy from others. You know, the leech projector. You know, that illusion. But the fact of the matter is that the way it actually operates in the not-self is that the other wants that attention and puts up with the leeching because they want the attention. The attention is more valuable to them than the annoyance of whatever they think they're losing in the interaction. They want the attention because they don't feel worthy. They don't feel that anybody loves them. How nice. Oh, she, he paid attention to me. Oh, do I feel good? Yeah. But it sells. You know, so projectors get used so easily. They get hooked. And the thing that stands between them and wholeness is the ability to put up their hand and say, no. No. I'm only going to plug in where I want to plug in. You know? I'm not going to miss anything. And you see, when you do that, you learn something wonderful. You begin to see your power. Because you see, they're not going to go away. Once you do that to them, they will never go away. Never. I mean, even if they're thousands of miles physically away, they've never gone away. They will go to sleep at night thinking, maybe this time I can get their attention, you know? You see, when you send them away, you begin to recognize who you are, you know, that you are valuable and that you have to be treated according to your worth. And you'll see, they'll come back. And it's fun, by the way. You can begin to enjoy saying, no, not today. You know, no. I don't use that kind of diesel. You know, don't need that today. It's so easy. But it comes from inner courage that you can be all right within yourself. Human design is learning to love yourself because you run your life. Nobody else. Not the genetic imperative, not people's trips, not the not self, not the lack of awareness. You run your life from your authority. And it's only from that place that you can put your hand up and say, no. And it's a holy thing to say, make them all wait. Send them away until they recognize you and respect you. And if they don't, keep on saying no. Torment them. Drive them crazy. They deserve it. Let them go to sleep with it in their heads. It's their problem, not yours. It's the same thing when you come to the emotions. You know, if you want to, I create a chart of the most fucked up people, you know? And near the top is the split definition emotional projector. You know? I mean, this is riding on the Titanic.
You know, and you go down with the ship. I mean, there is nothing like an emotional projector to plug in at the wrong times, eh? I mean, they're so good at plugging in at the wrong time that, I mean, we should film that and show it to people because it's really something to see, you know? The emotional projector high on their wave, plugging into the most horrendous piece of shit, right? And thinking that it's heaven, you know? And waking up in the morning and knowing that it was not heaven. Yeah? Oh, they will take in people that... I mean, Mother Teresa wouldn't take these people into her life, you know? I mean... unbelievable what they would take into their lives. These are dangerous, dangerous people. They are so unpredictable. I mean, the emotions. You know, one could not play around with the emotions. No truth in the now. You know how beautiful that is. Simple, right to the point. Just about impossible for emotional people to grasp at first. You know? I mean, it's so hard not to release at your emotional moment, you know? Someone enrages you in the moment, and there's this huge emotional bubble that's rising in you. It's tough not to kill in that moment, you know? It's tough not to be shrieking and howling in that moment. And oh, the regrets the next day. Ah, poor things, yes. And the bitterness and the blame, you know. Oh, and at the other end of the scale, you don't want to wake up in the morning with an emotional projector partner who's in a shitty mood. You know, it's like waking up with Attila the Hun. I mean, your life's at risk. You know? Because it can be so chaotic. And you see they're dependent on the other. And it's a two-way street. That zzz that goes into your G-center is now carrying an emotional time bomb. Zzz. You get up in the morning and there's this zzz that's going right in you. You know, this is not the strategy that says, I'll slowly bring up the subject and we'll begin to work things out. This is the moment that they're conscious and near you. You can feel it going into your G-center like a hammer on a brick. And they're right there with it. See, so difficult to be an emotional being. I mean, I understand. I really do. I know what that is. I can remember one day, many years ago, touring in Germany. And we took a wrong road somewhere, and I had an emotional partner at the time. And I think we were somewhere in East Germany. I have no idea. We were really lost. Eh? And we were supposedly on our way to Hamburg, which is normally about a four-hour drive. And it was a very tight timing because I had a class. And we were lost. And I'm very unemotional. And all of a sudden, I feel this emotional energy in my body. You know, I'm sitting beside this guy, and he's cranking. Okay? I mean, he is so angry. This is an emotional manifester, really angry. And the anger is raging inside of his system. And I can feel this coming into me. And I decide I'm just going to watch this movie. And at some point, he realizes how to get around, and we make this bizarre U-turn, end up in some... oh, really strange place. But anyway, we eventually end up back on the highway. And of course, at that moment, ending up back on the highway, I assumed that as an emotional being, that he would sort of, you know, it would drop. You know, this frequency would just let go, right? And I'm sitting there. It took 2 hours for this energy in his body to finally calm down. And it was a great lesson for me. I mean, it was the first time in my process
because I grew up, as any unemotional person does, being very prejudiced against the emotional system. It was the first time I had any real empathy. I got it. What I understood was, you know, that awareness or clarity isn't going to stop a wave from completing its motion. You can't just stop a wave. Doesn't happen unless you kill them. There's a movement, and the movement has to complete. And you see, everything for the emotional being is to understand something about themselves. If you are an emotional person, you're here to be deep. If you're an emotional projector, you're here to be incredibly deep. But it means you have to have patience. Patience. There is no truth in the now. The projector with the split that sends somebody away. The emotional projector always sends people away. All the time. Good, bad, or indifferent. You must always send them away. Always. One of the things to understand about being an emotional person is that nobody has a right to make a deal to have access to you in a moment. No one. No one. Because you cannot make that agreement in the moment. You cannot. You cannot know if it's so. And it is a basic law of understanding what it means to be an emotional person. You don't do things in the now. You don't rush in. You wait. And as a projector, you have to understand that when you push away, they don't go away. So don't worry. You'll get another chance to assess them in your wave. But you see, the great dilemma in the not-self-projector's life who is emotional is that they emotionalize their blame. They get cranked up. They get hysterical. And because they're designed to be one-on-one with people, they run around making one-on-one connections with others, unleashing all of their blame. And then they have to live with the consequences. You know, they have to live with the way in which other people think of them and see them. See, emotional beings who do not wait out the wave, others will never trust them. You can't. You can't. You know, for somebody who does such intellectual work, and that is the basis of my work, it's a privilege for me to have projectors as students. Always has been. But it's not enough, you know? I mean, it isn't. You know, it is this deep dedication to this process as a projector. If you do not master your world, you're going to be a victim, and it means we're all going to be victims, truly. I mean, I know that's a sort of a grand, non-practical statement, but it really is the truth. This is a plane in which we do lack guidance, in which there are not enough truly good questions. As a teacher, over 20 years teaching this knowledge, I can count on one hand the really good questions I've been asked. You know? I mean, the question is the opening to Satori. The right question can shatter a being, can awaken them, can transform them. You see, the projector is not here to discuss the mundane. They're here to ask the right questions. And they're here to ask the right questions because they have the gift of being able to absorb and focus on another in a way that as an other themselves, they can truly grasp what's there and know what to ask that force in order to move them in a way that is correct for them, at least to open up the opportunity for them to respond this way or that to whatever it may be. It's these questions we lack. You see, answers are not important, funny enough. Not when you come to what the projector is good for. You see, there is no universal answer. I am here as proof that there is only unique truth. Each of us. And each being has the right to the correct question. It's not a homogenized question. It's not a generic, how are you today, you know? It's not about that. It is the great gift that lies within the projector to know precisely what question can be transforming in the other's life. And it is a question that carries with it no agenda. It is not a question in which the projector prefers a certain answer. This is the not self. It is a question that arises out of awareness of the other. This is the role of projector. Projector does not guide by telling you what to do. Projector does not lead by performing themselves. The way in which a projector guides is that they simply ask the right question. That's all. That's their potential. This is what I hope for in the future. More and more projectors who truly understand their nature, who are not victims, who are not full of blame, who have the right people in their lives, and can begin to express this gift. It's a great gift. It is what outer authority is all about for a projector. You know, it's like the doctor who looks at you and seems to know exactly the question to ask you in order to get the information they need in order to be able to work with you. It's the question. And it's not a random question. It's a question that allows for a honing in and an opening up of a possibility. And because the projector has the gift of recognizing, they not only recognize the potential of the being, but they can recognize the potency of the question itself. How profound that can be. And when you're a projector and you can ask the right question, you will be a success. You know? I mean, this is what it is. It's about living out your role on this plane. And obviously there are many variations, profiles and designs and whatever the case may be, motivations and all the things that are there. And if any of those things are alien to you, then you better sign up for some courses and find out how it all works. Because if you're a projector, you know, this is the foundation of your process. You must learn as much as you can. The more you learn, the deeper you will be in the beauty of you. You. You know, I always have these moments where I can look at any of the variations and I can see, yeah, how beautiful the whole construct is. How extraordinary it would be if everything within that construct really operated the way it should or could. I mean, I look forward to those kinds of questions. I mean, you know? Because the question that is a question for me is not a question for somebody else. And if I treasure anything, I treasure uniqueness. It is what the projector is here for, to be able to recognize the uniqueness and potential in the other. And to be able to bring that out, not by leading, not by kicking or beating, you know? Just asking a question. And by the way, if they don't get it, tough. You know? Because it's not about wanting them to get it or needing them to get it. Because then you're stuck in their movie. isn't about any of that. See, I don't care if anybody ever gets human design. I never have, eh? One person at a time, I let them know if it doesn't work. I don't care. It just wasn't meant to be. That's all. You have to understand that as a projector. You can guide. You can open up a door. But you cannot take their hand and pull them through. Just door opening. That's what these questions are all about. And open a door for human productivity. The essential relationship between the projector and the generator is that the generator has all the power, has all the pure energy. And yet the generator needs guidance, not leadership. They are not sheep, they are wolves if they are correct. But they still have to pick up the scent that leads them in the right direction. They still need to be able to respond in order to get to that correctness. And you see, projectors, better than anybody else, know what energy is. Because after all, their whole life is dependent on recognizing it in others. And so their gift in that question is a gift that is able to touch at the very core of what is the fertility of life. You know, it is their contribution to aligning this great generative force that creates the world. Most generators are homogenized, building the same things that fall down. It's time to change that. So we'll keep on giving projectors discounts, hustling them into the classroom, teaching them as much as we can. And I wait for the questions. It's my signpost. Okay, folks, that's it for today.